You've heard us talk about David Femininio, injury attorney deluxe. Well, just listen to some of the results David has delivered for his clients. $3.5 million, $5 million, how about $11.5 million? Almost enough to cover Ohio State's NIL. You need an attorney that'll fight relentlessly for you. Call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. Go to that website anytime at getdavidgetpaid.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in, one and all. This is how you know you have a great football team. Rico, on a day off, decides, no. I'm coming. I don't even know why you're here, but that's okay.
You know what? I would miss you, and I would miss all the texts because I'd be like, why isn't Mike texting me? Oh, he's doing a show from 2 to 6.
That's right. So. I guess the way I would start the show is I have watched football that I remember since I was 7 years old. That is my first memories of watching the NFL. In my 37 years of watching the NFL, that was one of the most impressive regular season wins I have ever seen by any team. I cannot tell you. I spent the fourth quarter as a non-Lions fan, but someone who's invested in the team, standing and pacing in my living room. I had a friend and a group of 10 people at the game. Guys, I said this in August sitting next to Rico at Circa. I will say it to you again. The Detroit Lions are winning the Super Bowl, and you can fight it. You can be scared of it. You can say, la, 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 I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me nice things. You're winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because only great teams do what you did last night. Rico, 23-7. I don't want to hear about largest comeback in NFL history, and that was only 16 points. The way the game was going, that was a nightmare in every way, shape, and form. First of all, two of Goff's, quote, interceptions were as fluky as it gets. Just bad luck,
right?
Nonsense.
Especially the second one that bounced around and bounced around.
Correct.
I don't include the Hail Mary. I just don't, because it was a Hail Mary.
I don't count Hail Mary. I agree with you totally. But the point is, all in, he had five turnovers. Problematic. Doesn't matter. Well, wait, they're an offensive team who leaned on the defense. And even though they don't have much of an exterior pass rush, Aleem McNeil went full Aaron Donald. Brian Branch, to America, not to us here in Detroit. We know he's a Pro Bowler. He announced himself as one of the top 25 players in this sport. I stand by that comment. And you simply do everything you need to do. There's an unbreakable will about this team. And there was it was like synergy. Campbell's interview out of the half.
Mm-hmm.
We need to force some damn turnover interception as he's saying it.
Right, because when he said that, I'm thinking, wait, that interception didn't happen in the first half. I thought they had synced up some video to go with that. I was like,
nope.
That just happened on cue. Michael, I'll say this. The other reason why I'm here today, I witnessed the best Lion victory I've ever seen last night. Dallas, you could say, oh, what about the Cowboy game? You know, we won 47-9. Dallas was dead. They didn't want to be there. They were only there to get game checks, okay? Last night was the best Lions game I have ever seen. Why? You had high expectations. You did not live up to those expectations. Matter of fact, you played maybe the worst game ever. But last night, and I can understand why they put the speech up on social media. Last night was a living embodiment of Dan Campbell's speech when he got here. Yeah. We will do whatever it takes. And last night, the Lions did whatever it took to walk off with a victory. Okay, five interceptions. Don't worry about it. We'll make sure they don't score in the second half. Okay, we got to kick field goals because we can't go for it because it's too long. Don't worry about it. I actually like the kicker this year. I'm going to let him kick field goals. He barely made it. Don't care. Does it count as three? Yes. Kick another one. He barely made that one. Don't care. We won the game. Last night was a team effort. The defensive line. People stepped up who we've been waiting to step up. And you didn't have your new free agent on the field. Didn't matter. Jared Goff played horribly. Didn't matter. The team did not quit on the road. And the reason why, I said, Dallas was ready to quit. The Texans were there to fight. The Texans wanted to win that game. The Texans are, Houston Radio is probably just roasting this team because somehow or another, since 1970, no one has thrown for five interceptions and lost a game like this. They did. They put up a fight. You put up a better fight. You showed the world. Even when we are at our worst, we're still better than you. That's why this game was the best game ever.
And it's on the road. It's against the first place team off 10 days of rest. You didn't have any benefit. And both teams had some injuries. Doesn't matter. I would love to hear from the people. Look, well, there's so much to unpack. There's so many moments. It's just nothing convinces me more that you're winning the Super Bowl than Bates scraping the paint on the upright to tie the game and scraping it on the left upright to win the game. I mean, just there's a magic to this. And Rico nailed it. To win a game when you throw five interceptions, down 14, yeah, once every 54 years. Okay? I've believed since August. I can't change now. I'm just convinced. And look, there's no better coach team in this league. There's no better operation, all three phases. I don't want to hear about Kansas City being undefeated. That was a crock of you-know-what yesterday to block a chip shot field goal and win a game. I don't want to hear it. Kansas City, this team would hit Kansas City with a garbage can.
You know what the difference is? Kansas City, in their nine wins, Mike, had to come back eight times. If the Detroit Lions got up on Kansas City, they wouldn't be able to come back.
No, that's my whole point. I feel like they're winning the Super Bowl. Look, we've seen other teams do what the Lions are doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's foreign to see their helmet and their uniform, but I just don't hold that against them. They're doing this.
We had people doing a pregame show with Jim Costa, and there was callers and people. Yeah, they were like, I can't believe you guys are doing this. And
doing what?
Like, because we were saying, guys, this team's going to win the game. And I said last night, I think the Lions could play a C game
and win.
I didn't know that they could actually play a D game. Like, your defense showed up. Your offense didn't. And it didn't matter. Your special teams showed up again. Your defense carried you. Goff, just that the accuracy that we saw wasn't there.
Something was up with him last night. Oh, look at how many. You notice how many passes were low or turfed? I don't know what was going on there.
I mean, I guess he's smart because especially if you throw five picks, you're kind of gun shy. I don't want to force the ball anywhere, so I'll just live to fight another down. So, yeah it was plenty of time. Amon-Ra, I'm just going to bounce past that ball to you.
It was very bizarre.
It was not very Jared Goff-like.
No, and again, the O-line, we got to be careful. Like, everyone's allowed a bad day at the office. Houston, thank God they didn't have Will Anderson because the pressure they were getting without him, I don't want to see what that would have been with him. Goff got absolutely murdered last night. Murdered.
Yeah.
And he's still there to make the plays they need. Defensively, look, this is why I'm so all in about this season. You're not keeping Aaron Glenn. You're not keeping Ben Johnson. This is the last dance right here.
See, Ben Johnson, I think, may stay. I don't think he wants to be a head coach, and that's okay. It's not a slam on him. I think he just loves and appreciates, all I got to do is run the offense. All I got to do is just have meetings with the offensive the different units, I don't have to meet with the media. I don't have to do all the publicity stuff. I don't have to kiss babies. I don't have to do any of this stuff. I could just run the offense and come up with all types of plays. Aaron Glenn wants a head coaching job. Last night, that was his audition tape. Last night, that was his interview. I fully expect him to be a head coach somewhere. Yeah.
Well, and they put the, it was like a vice. They just kept tightening, like a tourniquet. They kept just tightening it and tightening it and tightening it, more aggressive, more at the line of scrimmage. Now, look, some of the reason they got burnt on a few plays is they have no pass rush. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were blitzes they were bringing in. Nobody won. You're creating an extra rusher, and Houston keeps the back in. Nobody of the six people you were bringing, nobody could win. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a distinct problem. Now, Za'Darius Smith hopefully helps with that. But I'd like to know from you guys. I mean, give me your takeaway of it. Can you finally say, like, yeah, we're doing this? I mean, there's so many things for us to talk about. J-Mo played a huge role last night. Couple of ridiculous catches. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, Penei Sewell, Ben Johnson with the call of the game, deep in your own territory on a third down, and we're going to run this fake out screen that
like
got
a wheel route. Yeah.
Yeah, Sewell on the edge, and now he's murdering Bullock, their safety, and just all of it. Brian Branch was everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah. This should let you know that you kind of arrived last night. You got what you've always complained about, Detroit. You got the favorable call at the end of the game.
Oh, on the PI?
Oh, it was PI. Well, but you know, and it was a guy who's had PI called against him all season long. Mm-hmm. But because your defense plays so well, the refs gave you the benefit of the doubt and said no. That was just a bang bang play, and we're not going to throw the flag. Now, when you rewatch it, yeah, it was. If you're a Houston fan, you're probably screaming bloody murder the way the Lions fans did with the whole Dan Skipper is eligible thing. But it shows you this is how you're perceived. Your defense was so elite last night,
yeah,
that referees gave you the benefit of the doubt late in the game, and they didn't even question the fact that it was a PI.
It's a point of arrival. I'm with you. I can't be more impressed. And the sick part is 23-7. I didn't feel like they were done. I mean, I'm not sitting here telling you that I expected victory, but I just felt like they're not done. And then once they scored and it's 23-13, you're not done. You're in this. Mm-hmm. Once it got to 23-20, I was convinced they're winning. This is happening.
I got convinced when they blew the wide, Tank Dell, wide open.
Well, Stroud just put too much air under it. He waited too long. You gotta throw the ball.
That would have made it 30-13. And at that point, go ahead, wave to the crowd, goodbye. Instead, it was another Lions party in the concourse. I don't know if you've seen the videos, but they were out there hustling in the concourse, screaming, you know, we're deep. Like, Lions fans showed up.
I would say
it
was
over
60-40.
Right.
60% Texans, 40% Lions. This Detroit takeover thing is a thing.
Yeah.
It just is.
But they were chanting, everywhere we go, we're deep.
I don't know what that means, but okay. 248-539-9797. I could make a joke, but it's too early to anger you.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Lions, obviously, the story of today, the week, the year. Just remarkable last night. And look, I understand, you know, we get the last at bat here in the afternoon, and maybe you've heard it all or said it all. We could talk about that game for 6 hours. The storylines, the moments, the players. I mean, that is one of the great victories in Detroit Lions history. And I think it was important that it happened on the national stage. And I know you guys will say you don't care, Detroit versus everybody, but you care. This is the most insecure city in the world. There's an inferiority complex with this town. And you don't ever feel like you get your respect or get what you deserve. And it's like the Lions take it by force. Last night, for them to go and win that game, America saw that game. Football fans who don't think much about you saw that game. And anyone with any knowledge of the sport of NFL football understands what you did last night was a Herculean task. It didn't go right. Things did go wrong. There is not a fan base in football. I don't care if it's Kansas City, Baltimore, Philadelphia. No one, if hooked up to a polygraph, would say they want a piece of this team.
Nope. You defied logic in how you did it. Nothing made sense, and you didn't care. You found a way to do it. You became your coach on the field.
Grit.
The grit, the toughness. We'll do it any way we can.
It's true, though.
I don't care. And that's what I saw last night. Nothing about that game. When it started, I was just like, oh, boy, maybe this was the game where it's all going to catch up to
you. You know what I started to think at the beginning of the night? Well, I missed by a week. I thought Green Bay was going to be that game. And I go, well, this is going to be an awkward show Monday where we talked about, nope, they don't lose, alt lines only. And here we go. Now, thank God they pulled it out. But no, I thought I had missed by a week. The rules do not apply to the Lions. There are teams, not even every year in the NFL, every so often, teams in sports will operate outside of the margins, outside of things that Rico, I, or any remotely nuanced fan use as benchmarks for teams and how things are supposed to be and the data. You are existing outside of that in the same way that the good Patriot teams did, in a way that the Chiefs are in real time. You are one of those teams. So that's what I want to talk to you about. Paul Serra on the ones and twos today. And, of course, he'll be doing the ticket text. You can reach Paul at his Twitter handle, MiamiPlayboy305. You can reach out to him.
I thought it was Big Pimpin'.
Right.
And I got to change it to losing the Georgia Tech 2 years in a row.
We're not going to go there. You're going to be fine. You'll make the playoff. Go ahead. What do you have?
This is from an unnamed texter. The entire second half, I just recalled Campbell at a presser saying one day they'd be on the other sides of these type of games. He was right.
Yep.
This is from Tyler. You can't convince me Brian Branch isn't our best and most valuable player.
I'm not going to fight that battle. I said moments ago, I think he's one of the top 25 overall football players in the sport. He is blossoming into an Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu type player. That's who he is.
From another unnamed texter, please talk about Dan's brain fart for calling for a 2-point conversion when there was no benefit of it.
That's not true. You were down by 16 points. You wanted to make it a 1-possession game. Of all the times they've gone for two or I disagree with things, guys, he was down 16 points. What are we talking about? It's 23-7. You score, it's 23-13. I'm trying to make it 23-15. So I can score again and go for two.
Right.
Tie the game up.
Right.
Now, what kind of Kaztec football field math are we doing here?
No, because the worst case is if you don't get it, you have to score a touchdown and kick a field goal to tie the game.
Yeah.
And what did they do? They scored a touchdown.
I'll find plenty of ways to be upset about analytics. That's not one.
Right. And your kicker wanted to kick field goals. Their kicker at the end.
Look, Fairbairn has been so good. You're allowed to miss one here and there. Yeah, that snap was high. I think the timing was off.
Nah, you saw he.
Come on. No, not Fairbairn.
He wanted no part. Mike, everybody in the building felt
he's made more 50-yarders than anybody.
Right, but
you think he bleeped himself?
No, I think the entire team did.
Oh.
The entire team was feeling the pressure of, are we about to lose this game? And oh my goodness. And
in fact, you are.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, this is just to sort of piggyback on what Rico was just talking about. Texter text it in. What happened to the Texans last night is what used to always happen to the Lions. That's how I know things have changed.
Yeah, but see, I don't think it's all about one team choking. I think you made incredible plays. Look, it's not that the Texans did a bunch of dumb stuff. Think about it. They couldn't get their run game going. That's not fake. That's you.
Right.
That interception by Carlton Davis, yeah, Stroud didn't put enough pace on the ball. Davis still had to close 15 yards of separation to make the play. The opening play at a half, Carlton Davis laid out like Superman to intercept that ball.
Jumped the route. If it was a pump fake, it would have been a touchdown the other way. He was all in and committed. It worked for him.
Going on that, Stroud's second pick was pure arrogance. Guy was wide open, and he flipped it up there like he was Kobe trying to hit a fadeaway.
See, I think that the entire crowd and everybody saw it was open. He wasn't looking that way, and he's hearing, like, why is everybody? Oh, my God, he's open. Okay, I'm just going to be safe. I'm going to put the air under the ball and
one problem.
Pick.
Right. You had Carlton Davis going about 38 miles an hour and close on it and make a great play. Look, I just think it's disingenuous if you want to say that Houston just choked. No, I think what made it impressive and what made it the best victory regular season win of my Lions life, you took the game.
Exactly.
You just took it.
You took it. No, because Houston, they didn't fumble. They didn't do something stupid. It wasn't, oh, my God. Though I do question, what was the Houston tackle?
Oh, Titus Howard? He tried to take the ball from CJ.
I don't know what's going on, but I may need to sit down and son, what were you trying to do? You do realize we were wearing the red jersey. Like he stripped the ball out.
It was mistakes were made. Let's go to Glenn, 97.1. Glenn, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, just absolutely exhausted after working today and staying up late for that game. But, man, did they reward me with it, so I can't complain. But I will have to say that was probably the greatest regular season Lions wins that in my life that I can remember. It was absolutely fantastic. And what's crazy is you're seeing these players. I have no idea who they are. Just making plays defensively to take up the spots that Derek Barnes once had, Aiden Hutchinson. Like, this is collectively the best team in football. And in spite of losing half of their defensive line and being out Taylor Decker, they're like, hold my beer. We're going to win this freaking game regardless of what we've done. And it's awesome, man. I can't believe it. And then secondly, I don't know if anyone else has noticed, but Za'Darius Smith looks like a spinning image of a young Rasheed Wallace.
Right there.
And you all know what happened when we traded for him. It's the team of destiny, man. This is the year. It is meant to happen. Whatever apocalypse happens after February, it is what it is.
Doesn't matter.
Lions 2025.
Hey, Glenn, it's funny because I was told today that maybe somebody made a deal with the devil. But when I see Za'Darius, I do expect him to just – both teams played hard. But just every Rasheed thing, like he looks just like Rasheed.
I tell you, here's the other thing, and you can't deny it. You can tell that man is thrilled to be here.
Yep.
Look, I know they get paid a hell of a lot of money to play a kid's game, but it always makes you feel better when someone is thrilled to join this team. He was engaged. He's all over it, and I love this angle of it. This is where I don't like the negative connotation of players' coach. Dan Campbell, being a former player, and respecting a 32-year-old veteran and saying, this was your bye week, you're telling me you need this rest for your body so you can deliver for us down the stretch, take your week. That wouldn't roll that way in every organization. Other organizations would say straight up, we gave up a lot for you and get your ass in. I just feel there's a connectivity. This is the most special group of my life as a Lions fan. Yeah. I said it in August before I saw the finished product. I have to continue saying it out. They're winning the Super Bowl.
Well, think about it, Mike. To add on what you just said, they could use him in that game.
Yeah.
But you know what? Bigger picture. We need you for the rest of the season.
And there he is on the sideline with the little Surface Pro coaching the entire D-line room.
But, Coach, we're going into Houston. It's not like you're playing Jacksonville where, you know what? You could take the week off. Coach, we're playing Houston. Houston's pretty good in Houston. Yeah, they're breaking. It's a night game. I know, son. But we're going to need you later on in the season. This was going to be your off week anyway. Take the off week, fly home, do whatever you got to do. Get ready to hit the ground running against Jacksonville. By the way, what? You're the big betting guy.
What?
I don't think I've ever seen a 13.5-point spread in the NFL.
Oh, I have.
You have?
Paul's Miami Dolphins, when they were tanking for Tua, I'm pretty sure 1 week they were catching 20 and a half at New England.
Okay.
Because I was like, what respect? That's an outlier. I've seen 17. I remember when the Giants were good and Jamarcus Russell was all drugged up. The
Purple Giants, drank.
Yeah, they were laying like 18 to the Raiders. But okay. Your point is, it doesn't happen.
Because I'm looking at the point spread. Wait, seven? Wait, you mean 7.5? No, that's 13.5.
No. Wow. No. But this is who you are. And look, I stand by it. I mean, they're going to lose a couple of games. That's just the natural order. Oh, you want to go 16-1?
You're correct. But here's the thing. Win a prize. Tell us when that game's going to be.
I can't. I mean, look, they do have a tricky double dip, Green Bay, Buffalo, back-to-back weeks. Maybe one of those?
They had a 3 out of 4 games where they went on the road to Green Bay, to Minnesota, and to Houston.
I quit.
And came away, win.
Rico wins. Here's a washer and dryer.
All they do is win.
Right. 248-539-9797.
He tripped up against the Jags. I quit.
Oh, no, that's not happening. Bogo.
Lions, in my opinion, played the greatest game I've ever seen them win. Plain and simple. You embodied everything that your coach said that he is. It's about the grit. It's about the toughness. You overcame all types of adversity. There was many, many, many opportunities that you could have just tapped out and said, you know what? Not our night. Nope. You hung in there. You won that game walk-off fashion. Best. Jake Bates. And, hey, congratulations. You have a kicker that Campbell actually likes. And they kicked the ball.
Super Bowl. Get your rooms in New Orleans. It's happening. Let's go to Dave, 97.1. Dave, what's going on, buddy?
Good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon.
I was another one, stayed up way too late because I'll tell you, I really wondered what was going to happen. First of all, I got to tell you, Rico, I love your show. It's one of my favorite things in the afternoon. Just sit back and listen to you guys.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Very much.
This, like you said, is probably one of the most impressive games, I think, because, you know, you watch the first half. The interceptions, the offensive line just looked out of sync. This is a game you would normally say the Lions weren't going to win. They played after 5 interceptions. This is a game you generally wouldn't win. But it reminded me, I don't know if you guys ever seen the Sports Century documentary on Vince Lombardi. It's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But Howard Cosell asked him, what is the one thing you want from your players? And he said, I want my players to give everything they have 100% on every single play. And I look at this Lions team, and that's what I see. I mean, they came and they did exactly what they had to do. They put all of their energy into it, and they wound up pulling it out. Quite frankly, after the first half, I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought, well, maybe they've just read too much of their headlines. They're kind of just not, you know, they're a little tired, what have you. They came back and said, nope, we've got this.
Dave, it's something that only great teams do. Because I don't think that Houston gave the game away as much as you took it. And to do it on the road, to do it when you weren't off a bye like they were, right? They had the 10 days of rest. Mm-hmm. You didn't. And, I mean, Dave, look at how they had to lean on a defense. And honestly, yep. That defense bullied Houston. Mm-hmm. It was remarkable. It was just incredible to watch. The Lions are that team now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for me to... I know, Dave. And look, I know it's easier for me and Rico to say that because, look... I'm a Giants fan. Rico's a Niners fan. I've seen Super Bowl. So has Rico. But guys, I'm telling you, you're living what I've lived, you know. Mm-hmm. And look, the last time I felt that way about my team was 08. And that's before Plaxico decided to shoot himself in his sweatpants. Like, the Giants in 08 were murdering teams. I was convinced. We are repeating. Cutscene. I'm at the club with a gun. Guys, this is what it is. It's what this looks like.
Yeah. When everything just goes right. Remember the stats that I gave you last week about the Lions defense since we're speaking about them?
Yes.
No quarterback has thrown for 2 or more touchdowns. That still is applicable. No team has scored over 29 points. That's still applicable. This defense is playing well. Glenn, he won't be here next year. I can promise you that. Him and his raindrop-filled glasses will be on somebody's sidelines.
Poor man. Out there in Green Bay, and we needed a Farnsworth Bentley. We needed somebody to hold his umbrella.
A tiny little squeegee something.
Anything. Let's go over to Monty, 97.1. Monty, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Great show today, as always.
Thank you, sir.
Thank God I'm not the coach, because I know myself and other people are sitting at home like, I'm ready to put Hooker in. This game is over with. I don't know what's going on with Goff. Is family being held ransom somewhere? Because something was just off to him.
He was off. It was the Goff that we were so used to seeing him making all the completions in a row. I mean, the first pass was an incomplete pass. Like, okay. It was like him and Amon-Ra didn't sync up, and they were talking about it last night, and maybe that's the key to stopping that Ben Johnson offense. Just take Amon-Ra out the game, because you really didn't hear his name until the fourth quarter.
Until the biggest moments.
Yeah.
And he's there. I mean, again, on third and nine, you needed it. He's there.
I'm sitting there screaming. It's like Cooper Kupp. You knew he was getting the ball. Why is a linebacker on him?
That's right.
Right. Will was also, he kept throwing the ball very low. Like, and I wasn't understanding that. Like, I mean, thank God this was the worst game we've seen him play, and we've gotten it out the way. But, I mean, we got to be happy right now. Even the national media is talking about, you know, who's the best team right now, and everybody's picking the Lions over the undefeated Kansas City. So, you know, welcome to the big time.
Yeah, 100%. 248-539-9797. Go to Rick 97.1. Rick, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Great, Mike. Hey, Rico. I totally agree with you. Mike, you're 100% right. This is the Lions' year for the Super Bowl. Rico, this is the original Rocky versus Apollo Creed. We go down for 2-8 counts in the first and second quarter, and bam, we hung in there and came back, and you know what happened. I just got a question for Mike. What was the halftime odds on FanDuel to take the Lions on a live bet?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, my bet, I believe.
I think they were at plus 200.
It was 200 or 210. So just about 2-1 on your money if you wanted it.
Man, I'm kicking myself for that. Because after the Viking game, I'm like, man, we got knocked down for the first quarter. But I never doubted. I stood up. I'm like, they're going to pull this game out. And, man, I was that close to putting a 50 on a live bet, but I didn't do it. So, anyways, great show, guys. Love you, man. You guys take care.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, man. And again, I mean, guys, like, I organically, I'm standing up in the fourth quarter. I have an incredibly comfortable couch. I was standing up. We have a coffee table. I'm putting my leg up there like I'm Captain Morgan. I've got one leg up. I'm standing. My arms are crossed. I am into this. And it's not, I recognize what's going on. Mm-hmm. And as much of a cold-hearted bastard as some of you inappropriately label me, I want this for you. Like, yes, we have a business to run, but this team's already good. How much better will it get? It won't. I want the people who have suffered forever to get this. Yeah. This is truly the Chicago Cubs, a team that has gone a lifetime plus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's now, though, Rico, because I'm with you. No, you don't get to just run it back next year or the year after. I do believe you're losing both coordinators because I, much like I asked David to pray for me and I sent you that picture of Jesus when the Giants fumbled the first play of overtime, I am now going to ask David to pray for Ben Johnson with the Giants. Ben Johnson's mine. You can't have him now.
No. I get it because here's the thing. You live for this year.
Mine.
Because think about it. Last year, Eagles, 10-1, all falls apart.
Yes.
Last year, Niners make the Super Bowl, all falls apart.
By the way, also, if you didn't want 2-1 at halftime on your money, can I interest you in 5-1?
Oh.
Just bet the Lions to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Plus 500 right now. Kansas City's plus 420. Yeah, I mean, just what are you waiting on? Your Niners are plus 1,000, by the way. You're still in the mix. You're right there.
Really?
You're ahead of the Eagles.
You know what?
We call that the Pearsall effect.
We're going to talk about that later.
Okay, then. Quick TO from some Lions football. We will get right back to it, but we got to do a little football today.
Oh, I'm Paul Serra. My team's 10-1. Wah!
I heard what I walked into during the break.
All right, Mike. It's Monday. We're going to do this. We're going to do a college edition of Can We Say That?
Yeah, sure. I got lots of opinions. Let's
okay.
go.
Okay. Can we say, since Paul is here, that based off of Miami's loss, Miami is going to be severely punished by the College Football Playoff Committee?
You got to define what that means. They're still making the playoff.
That means that they're going to be down in the bottom tier. They're going to be somewhere around 8.
Yes.
I mean, 9 to 12.
Yeah, 100%.
So look, they're going to go flying, on the road.
They've been flying close to the sun for a month. Should have lost to VTech. I believe some of the most egregious officiating I've ever seen at Louisville. Should have, could have lost there. They got what they deserved. They were due to lose a game.
I hate Georgia Tech. I never thought I'd hate Georgia Tech. But
was that
the last
why you tried to kill their running back, Haynes? It was the most brutal hit I've seen in 5 years of football.
It was a clean play.
It was an assassination attempt. I got Archduke Ferdinand on line 11.
The next one is a twofer. Can we say that maybe Indiana just can't handle pressure?
Yes. You say, well, hey, whoa. This is what happens when you don't play nobody. And I was the only one, old bleephead Sparty, I was the only one going, I am not comfortable acting like Indiana's going to roll them. Like this idea, 14 casual points.
17-3, I thought so.
My point is, Indiana has played nothing. Yeah. Michigan has played Texas. They've played Oregon. They've played USC. They've played some real teams. Indiana's strength of schedule is 109. They were in a moment there, and you know what we heard? They were dying.
Definitely had.
Yeah, you didn't see Cignetti acting all tough, puffing out his nuts in the fourth quarter. He was awfully stoic.
Yeah, Surratt, two passes that he dropped.
Bro.
I feel like whoever plays them in the playoffs is going to be licking their chops.
Oh, them and whoever wins the Big 12. Pinatas.
All right, well, let's stick with that game, though. On the other side of the coin, can we say that Sherrone Moore is learning on the job while he's coaching Michigan?
Stop. No. Step further. Red flags everywhere. I mean, we were having conversations about play calling. Sherrone, take the time out, and you won't burn 28 seconds conversing. That was pure idiocy. Yeah. Also, did he pull a Lloyd Carr and do an unannounced suspension of Mullings?
You noticed that Mullings didn't really play, and he said, well, Edwards just practiced harder this week.
Yeah.
It's easy to do that when you're not there.
Or we all saw what we saw against State. But hey, who am I?
It kind of just feels like he's learning that it's harder to actually game plan all week yourself and then call the game than it is to just take over on Saturday and do it.
Look, there's red flags there. That's all I can tell you.
I mean, the 28 seconds, like, coach, it's a one-score game. You stop them. You give yourself a chance for a Hail Mary, a long something. And tick, 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 tick. Oh, wait, timeout. Like, okay, that was a waste of time. All right, can we say, Mike, this is for you.
Okay.
Lane Kiffin had the best win ever as a head coach.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Ole Miss.
Look, unfortunately, they're back against the wall. They can't afford a slip up. They've had the embarrassing Ole Miss, loss. But yeah. They bodied Georgia start to finish. It's fantastic. And they did it without their best player, Trey Harris.
Georgia up. They spotted Georgia 7 points and then said, watch this.
That was great because that got me Ole Miss plus 4.5. Perfect. Paul?
Carson Beck is terrible.
Okay, then.
Like, what's going on? Like, you watch Georgia play and they would have beat Texas by 40 if he wasn't their quarterback. Like,
he's cost himself millions of dollars. I just think he's got to go back to school. I don't know who's giving him a first-round grade after what they've watched on tape this year.
Yeah. No, I mean he's the reason. He's the reason they have one of the losses.
Can we say Brian Kelly's on the hot seat at LSU? This was the game. It was down at LSU. You had a Bama whose legs were staggering, ready for the knockout blow, and instead, Jalen Milroe scores not once, not twice, not three times,
bro,
but four.
I felt like I was watching the Breeders' Cup because he looked like flight line out there. That was, that's the Milroe that had been missing before their bye week. He was hurt. I told you when they played Tennessee, I go, wow, I bet on a guy in a wheelchair. So my whole thing is there's two caveats to your question. A, he will be under immense pressure next year, and it could boil over if they don't perform. And here's the other one. If they lose Bryce Underwood, he will be blamed for that.
Yeah.
You cannot lose the number one quarterback in America when Nuss is out. You need to sell hope. You need to sell excitement. If he loses Underwood and they go out next year and lose three games, oh, yeah. No, he's in big trouble.
Well, perhaps he should get some hanger-on at LSU to come and be the offensive coordinator at Belleville.
I kind of agree with Mike. I think he'll get next year.
Hey, Mike, did you see who was coaching at Belleville?
All I will say is this, and then, Paul, the floor is yours. Are there any adults in the room anywhere? Like, guys, nah, we're not going to do that. I have no problem with what Michigan is attempting to do. I think it's brilliant. In fact, I'm jealous. But this Stallions, shame on Belleville.
Connor Stallions is coaching Belleville, for those who don't know.
Just get a grip, Belleville.
Yeah, that Connor Stallions.
Come on. Get a grip.
Who runs the successful vacuum cleaner company.
Hey, let's hire a weirdo. I just, whatever, dude. Paul, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I agree with your take on the LSU situation. I think Brian Kelly get another year, and then I think next year will be determined whether he gets to stick around or not.
Feels right to me.
Guys, can we say that the Big Ten will get four teams in the college football playoffs?
Yeah.
Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana.
Yep. Yes. I think that's, I don't have to even.
No.
Yes.
I kind of feel it's a lock at this point. Like, well, the ACC, everyone's losing in the ACC.
ACC is ass. The Big 12's a disgrace. They don't deserve a single team in. If Colorado and BYU were the best two you got, hey, right here, one for each. SEC's a mess. Yeah. Big Ten will get four. It's the truth, Rico.
No, speaking of Colorado.
Go ahead.
Will Colorado make the college football playoff?
I would much rather see them than BYU. At least Prime is interesting, but I'll tell you this.
But old man strength.
Listen to me. Whichever one of those teams wins, they will be nothing more than a pinata for whoever they play. Oh, they're a bye week team? No, please. Please, whoever makes the playoff, bring me Colorado.
Yeah.
Bring me BYU. Please.
I agree with Mike on this. I think it'd be entertaining to see Colorado get in, but I think they would just be fodder for whoever they play. They would just be immediately ousted.
Same thing with fake-ass geriatric BYU. Nice holding call on a 4th-and-10. What a joke. What an absolute joke. Retzloff blows. That team sucks. Them and their old people who play. Honestly.
Sticking with the college football playoff.
Yes.
Based off of what happened last week, can we say Georgia won't make the college football playoffs?
Uh-oh. I'm still going to say they're in because I think they're going to drop a bomb on Tennessee this week.
Really?
Tennessee's effed up, man. And Kirby, when he gets that team angry, back against the wall, everybody hates you. They think you're human garbage. Maybe he'll put a big picture of poop up on the wall and be like, that's what they think about you. I think they're going to bomb Tennessee. And once they do that, they're made. Because guess what they get to skip out on? SEC title game. They get to sit home and go.
Yeah, that's going to be problematic because you know what you just described? Penn State.
Yes.
I kind of feel like Kenny's going to be very upset because I kind of feel like they're going to lose to Tennessee.
Okay.
And they're going to not get in the playoff, which is kind of a disaster. And it's, to me, I would blame Carson Beck on that. I think he's cost him so badly.
You really hate Carson Beck. I never knew this about you.
Well, watching him play this year, I was just like, this is a first-round quarterback? This guy stinks.
Are you okay? I don't even know if you have a sister, but did Carson Beck sleep with her? What is going on here, Paul? He hates this kid.
He's not any good.
I have to learn the Paul Sarah origin story. He's a mysterious figure.
He is very mysterious. He only talks to me every now and then. Today was a good day, so I'm gonna ride with this. All right, finally, getting ready to come around that quarter turn, Mike. Well, that what do you call the turn as you coming down the
top
stretch?
Top of the stretch.
Top of the stretch.
Oh my
I knew
God.
It was something.
What do you want?
Nay bands.
I hate you.
Dylan Gabriel.
Yes.
Travis Hunter. These are Heisman Trophy favorites. Did Jalen Milroe enter into the stretch?
A little bit. But if we're giving the award to the best football player in America, Travis Hunter's the best football player in America. He is. He's unique. Nobody does what he does. Plays both ways. He's explosive in both facets. I right now as a Heisman voter, no, I would vote for Travis Hunter. Oh, but you hate prime, racist. No, I just don't like shenanigans. Sorry.
No, I agree with Mike. It's Travis Hunter. Like, I would have argued Cam Ward based on my heart, but then after last weekend, he's out of it. So it's Travis Hunter.
You mentioned prime. Is he the coach of Colorado next year?
No.
Is he coaching next year, or is he just going to follow his
kid? He's not coaching this year.
Okay, you know what?
Honestly, what's that? He's a hype man.
He wears the sunglasses and the cowboy hat.
The only reason
he's... Have you not seen the Aflac commercials?
The reason he's coaching is he got Hunter to come from Jackson State, and he had his kid. Congratulations, your kid's the number one pick in the NFL draft. He's not recruiting. And yes, okay, fine, they went and got a zillion kids in the portal, but like, what schematic stuff?
Will he make it to Florida State?
I don't. You know what? I hope he's the coach of the Giants at this point. If it lands me Shador, I'm in. I don't care. Seriously, I just don't care anymore.
Okay. How about we do another version of this NFL style?
Yes, more.
That's your College Football Blitz 97.1.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.